The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Saturday edition of Dead Set Legends. Something a bit different this morning. We are live. Yes, that's a bonus. We are live. That's a real bonus, actually. We are live from the Radio Rental Store at Colonnade. So if you're in the area between now and midday, pop in, give us a wave, say hello, whatever. We've got some vouchers to give away from Radio Rental. So it's a big morning down here. And what a couple of weeks it's been in sport. Footy, cricket, soccer, controversy, drama, you name it. It's happened over the past couple of weeks as I welcome my sparring partners this morning here at Colonnades. In fact, I must say I'm in awe of the talent this morning. First of all, former Crows champion and Port Adelaide coach. We won't hold that against him. Tyson Edwards, good morning, Tyson.
It's good to be back. How you going, mate?
I'm good, thanks, Tyson. What a couple of weeks it's been in sports.
It's all been happening, coach.
Unbelievable. And talk about things being happening. Of course, the man on my left is a player that the Crows cannot afford to go down with injury. He's our shining light, our champion ruckman, the one and only Sam Jacobs. Source, good morning.
KG, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Been a couple of weeks, I said to Tyson, God, drama's everywhere.
Not for Source, mate. He's on holidays. These guys don't train these days until January or February. They run their own programs these days, Cage.
Well, he's been telling me, Tyson, that he's been running 4 days a week, 10Ks, doing weights, doing that. He looks like he's fit as a scrub bull, for goodness sake. Unbelievable.
He's looking good.
Absolutely. Hey, it's drama time. I'm going to hit you two blokes straight between the eyes in a moment. I don't want any pussyfooting around. I was listening to the Rush Hour last night with Louis and Jars, and gee whiz, the phones went nuts about the fact that the Crows have not picked up young Ben Jarman. So I know you two guys are close to the scene, so I just want it straight from the shoulder this morning.
Okay, mate, no worries. We'll give you what we think.
What do you mean, what do you think? I want the inside information, Tyson. Come on, son. Very close to the family source.
It's glad we got Tyson here. He might be in this position next year. So
I may have to be a little bit careful. Benny is my nephew. So
there you go.
I actually did see Ben last night. So
And how is he?
No, he's all right. He's obviously a bit disappointed that I think he probably was expecting to be
picked up.
And not to say that he can't, but he's still a chance there. But obviously the Crows don't rate him as highly as what they first did.
Ooh, okay. We'll come back and discuss that in depth in one moment's time. We've got a big program. We'll talk to more views. Drama in the cricket world. The third test starts on Thursday here at the Adelaide Oval. How many changes will they make? We'll talk about that. Mahatma Cope will join us a little later. We've got Tim Nilsson, the talent manager of the Redbacks there in Strife, of course, in Queensland. And Mark Ricciuto will have a chat to Roo and get his tips. It's a big, big show. Stay with us right after the break. Tyson Edwards and Sam Jacobs, straight between the eyes. Good on you, Sean. Yes, we're live, of course, from Radio Reynolds at Colonnade. If you're in the area, pop in and say hi. I forgot to mention, but Sean did. He's always on the ball, my mate, Sean, back in the studio. But we'll have Matthew Lobe live here and also Richard Douglas a little later in the show. Now, boys, I've got information that has come to me that 2 days ago, and both look at me in the eye, that the Adelaide Football Club said to young Ben Jarman, "We'll pick you up, we'll nominate you." Now, if that's the case, what has changed in 2 days? Tyson, to you first. What has changed in 2 days? And is my mail correct?
Firstly, I think the mail is pretty correct, which...
No, it's not pretty correct. It is bloody correct.
Yeah, which is, I guess, disappointing. I think that's the thing that the Jarman family's probably a little bit disappointed behind the scenes is how it's all been handled. And that's probably the point that... you've just made that the young fella's banking on getting selected, nominated at least.
Correct.
And then a couple of days out from the deadline, and then they say, "Nah, look, we're going on a different track." So I think it was a bit of a shock to them because I don't think it was expected. If they said 2 months ago, 3 months ago, "Mate, we're probably not looking like it. Maybe a rookie," then it's a different story. That's fine if that's where they rate him. But I think you're right. There's been a bit of a change there, and that's thrown a bit of a spanner in the works.
Well, what's caused the change in 2 days? Surely.
I've got no idea. I mean, nothing really changes. There's no new players coming into the draft. Nothing like that. The kids are there that they've been watching for the last 2 years, and obviously something behind the scenes they obviously meet really regularly and are planning the. the draft and what happens. But yeah, there's been a few changes with David Nobles. Obviously, left Brett Burton, stepped into his role. So there's been a bit of a change there as far as that goes. But as far as players and who's there to be selected, Sauce, I don't think much changes.
Well, can I ask you both a question?
Yeah.
Can I take from that that perhaps the Adelaide Football Club and their scouts or whatever don't rate young Ben as highly as other people? Sauce?
Yeah, I guess like Zuma was saying, that there is obviously constant meetings this time of the year, and and we understand that things can change a lot, you know, as the draft gets near.
Yep.
I think we're under a week now from the draft, so you know, without knowing too many facts, you know, I can't comment too much, but you know, I've got confidence that I'll back the club in to make the right decision. But my first thoughts is for Benny. Like, we've been in the position going through the drafting. It's hard enough as it is anyway, let alone Benny having the extra added pressure.
With a German name.
Yeah, absolutely. And for him, all he wanted to do was get drafted, whether it's at the Crows, Hawthorn, you know, anywhere interstate.
Yep.
Benny would just want to be able to play some footy and be on an AFL list and get the opportunity, and hopefully he does. So,
Can I pose this question? What would the Adelaide Football Club lose by picking up Ben Jarman?
I obviously know Ben really well. I've known him since he was in nappies and watched a lot of his footy and know a lot about him. So it's probably a little bit harder for me because I'll be biased because I just think you would pick him up.
Be biased.
And you know, because I think he's got a lot to. Pretty famous. He comes from a famous family. He knows his footy. He's a real smart kid. Uses the ball really well. He's a team player, unlike his uncle Andrew.
I hope
that gets back to him.
I'm sure it will.
He's just a really good kid. He'd fit into the environment really well.
So you would have picked him up.
I would have picked him up, definitely. One because it's a German name. It's the first father son. It's not like the kid can't play. He can play the game, and I would have thought that he'd sit somewhere in the top 80 or 90 best players in the country at the moment. Now there still is a chance the Crows could rookie him. And you know, I've got a point of view that I've been through the AFL system, and there's lots of rookies on the list that you think when they come to the club. And, you know, when I was playing, I think, far out, this kid, he'll never make it. Like it might be tall, might be given an opportunity, might be just might have some speed, and you're trying to give him a chance, and let's get him in the environment and see how he goes. But Ben can actually play the game. Like I'm a bit dumbfounded by it. I just think, for lots of different reasons, I think the supporters would really get behind Benny. It'd be a bit of a buzz about having the first father-son, and it's a German, and what Darren did for Darren in the premierships. It's a bit strange for me. But
can I ask you both a question? Yep. Will he be there at pick 90, Sam?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, Zuma coached under 18 levels, and like you said, he's seen him play a lot of footy. On the other hand, I haven't seen him play a lot of footy, but I got exposed to him a little bit. He came and trained with us towards the back end of the year, and he was an impressive kid. He's obviously quiet. He went about his business, which is probably a bit different to Andrew again. So.
Nothing like his uncle.
But I think we're right in the sense that it's a lot of emotion attached to it, and I think, you know, we're all excited by who's going to be our first, who's going to be our first father son.
Yep.
You know, that generation of Tyson coming through. You know, their kids now, you know, 15 to, you know, around that sort of age group, they're all starting to come through. So. It is exciting. Would have been great to see him. Hopefully we still will. You know, next Friday night, he still might be a Crow at the end of the night, and hopefully we can, and it's exciting for him.
Will he be there at pick 90, Tyson?
Oh, I would have thought so, but I mean, I don't know. We don't know enough about the other players, and you know, that's the thing we need to qualify here, is we don't know. I haven't got my eyes over all the players and the competition like the AFL clubs do these days, and they do a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure they've got the right picks. Maybe they've got a plan up their sleeves that they're not telling anyone about, and at the end of the day, who end up a Crow, and everyone will be happy. So, that's the thing we don't know about. I mean, I watched him in the under 18 competition, and he destroyed that. Like it was far too good for that competition this year. So I would have thought that he would be in the top 80, 90 best kids in the country.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
Good on you, Sean. Of course, the third test match starts on Thursday at the glorious Adelaide Oval. And gee whiz, I don't think I've ever seen the Australian cricket scene in worse array than we're seeing it at the moment. It really is crisis. Our form and the way we're playing is quite quite disgraceful, to be honest.
I hope we start on the weekend, Coach. Saturday, Sunday, we should be all over by Sunday night.
Well, the way we're playing...
How can you have a five-day test, finish in 2 days?
Well, that's when you've got one side that's playing very ordinary cricket.
Coach.
And, I cannot comprehend what has happened to the Australian cricket culture.
In sport, you need to have settled lineups, and there just seems to be so many question marks. We even saw during the week Rod Master selector stood down. Now we've got a new selector. We've got Ray Chappell's up to six positions generally up for grabs, and I've never seen that in an Australian cricket team to have so many players in limbo.
I read Ricky Ponting said something last night or in the last couple of days anyway about so many past players, so many greats not transitioning into the coaching ranks, rather more so into the media, what we're sitting here doing now, rather than coming in and helping out, even in the state leagues and those sorts of things. They're more so moving into the media, which, less stress. Obviously, that the workload being involved in those positions is big. But is that a problem, you think, Coach?
Well, it is, Tyson, but the real problem is without a shadow of a doubt, when it all started when they sent home our captain, Steve Smith, from the tour of Sri Lanka to rest halfway through a tour. That is a kick in the guts to Sri Lanka, and that's not the way the Australian cricket team plays.
Yeah.
They're resting players. They rested Josh Hazlewood. It is ridiculous, and it's not working. And you're getting a situation where Mitchell Starc was told in the Shield game before the second test he wanted to bowl in New South Wales second innings, but he was told by the authorities, you can't bowl. Now, that is... Mitchell Starc knows what's best for his body.
I would have thought so.
It's absolutely stupid, and what they're doing to Shield cricket is an absolute joke.
So either there's the bowlers aren't bowling enough because there's still injuries. We've still got injuries to our key bowlers. So they're obviously either not bowling enough, or the resting for the players isn't actually doing what it's meant to be doing.
Exactly. Merv Hughes will join us in a moment. He was a selector and, of course, Australian fast bowler. But, like, it is a disgrace, honestly, what is happening to cricket. You know, like Sayers now. Can't get a game. Will they drop Ferguson? Will they drop Manny after one test
match? You'd hope not.
But the culture's wrong.
It just seems to be gone are the days of rewarding good form. Like, you see so many guys at Shield level... just getting plucked out now just because they are deemed to be, you know, future test players, where you've got blokes like Chatty Sayers and blokes like these who've you know, got years of good cricket behind them.
Okay, well, let's go to a man now who's, of course, played at the highest level, played for Australia, and very passionate man about his cricket, and, of course, also was a test selector during his career. And I'll talk about the likeable big Merv Hughes. Merv, thank you for your time.
Good morning. How are we?
Good, thank you, Merv. Now, Merv, what has happened to Australian cricket? I don't think I've ever seen Australian cricket in a worse situation than it is right at this moment. Where have we gone wrong?
Oh, we've been in a lot worse situations than this. And you cast your minds back to when World Series cricket took a few of the players, when the Rebel Tour of South Africa went, when we had all those greats retiring, McGrath, Gilchrist, Warren, Hayden, all those guys. The thing that people are tending to forget is that we've had six pretty significant retirements in the last 12 to 18 months.
Yep.
So when you take Michael Clarke, Chris Rogers, Watson, Paddon, Johnson and Harris out of that side, there's 375 test matches, over 20,000 test runs and 500 test wickets. You don't replace that overnight.
Yeah, but Merv, there's no one coming through the ranks. Look at what we've been doing. We sent Smith home from the tour of Sri Lanka, our captain. We've rested Hazlewood. We told Mitchell Starc not to bowl in New South Wales second innings. What in the hell's going on?
Yeah, I suppose when things are going well, that's good management. And when things go badly, people point the finger and say, this shouldn't be happening. I tend to look at the program a little bit more than the individuals, but... Why the hell would we play a pink ball day-night test match in the lead-up to a red ball test, and we've got a pink ball test match next week, and all the boys are playing red ball shield matches this week?
Surely
we've got to sort that out. So preparation is the key, and you ask anyone that plays at the top level, the most important thing is your preparation. And if your preparation's half-assed, that's how you're going to play.
Exactly.
The other thing we just spoke quickly about before you came on is Ricky Ponting made a comment in the... in the media in the last couple of days about the greats of our game not transitioning into coaching, whether you know whether it be the top end or in the state leagues or the junior programs, more so choosing the commentating, you know, getting behind the mic and that sort of thing. Do you see that as a bit of an issue and something that may be able to help our young cricketers coming through?
Well, obviously getting the best players involved is important and the superstars of the past, but having said that, not all great players make great coaches. They've got to be able to communicate. So of Ricky Ponting, he's coaching overseas and he's been very successful. He's in the commentary box at Channel 10 and he's put a new light on the Big Bash, hasn't he? So you get involved in ways that suit you. And I think also he said that to entice the guys out of that commentary box, you've got to pay more money. Now, you know, the money, I don't know how much a coach gets at state level, at international level. But if the guys can get more money in a commentary box and still follow the game around, still have an opinion, you put yourself in those blokes' shoes, what are you going to do? Are you going to take a pay cut to coach? So there's got to be a bit of a thought process to go with that. Is that guys want to stay involved, and it's how they stay involved. Now, listen, mate, I'm doing nothing, so I'm happy to coach. So don't have to pay me too much. Where if someone like Shane Warne or Ricky Ponting or Damien Fleming, you've got to entice them out of the commentary box. So therefore, you've got to pay them more than what they get for commentary. And obviously, that's going to be a little bit too steep, I reckon.
Now, Merva, our bowlers seems to be going all right. It seems to be our batting that tends to be letting us down a lot with our collapses and that. We've got a few guys that are around that, you know, 30, early 30s to mid-30s mark. Do you think it's time to, you know, invest time in guys like Travis Head and, you know, Hanscom and all these guys that are performing really well but are probably a bit more inexperienced in the batting?
Well, last week, I think everyone was crying out for Callum Ferguson to get in the team. He got in the team and 1 and 3. Mate, what we've got to do is just integrate these younger players in with the senior players and give them a little bit of time. Now, you guys over there know exactly how good Callum Ferguson is. He had a bad test match, and I'd hate to think he'd get dropped off the back of one test match.
Totally
but it could
great.
Well happen. So, Boges is probably a little bit uncertain because of the concussion, but I reckon he would have been a question mark going into this next test. And also, Joe Burns is under a little bit of pressure. So, the thing there is, like you say, you mentioned all these guys' names. Are they really knocking the door down? They're averaging a nudge under 40, so they're not really banging the door down. They're sort of just tapping at the doorbell. So we need guys knocking the door down to get into the Australian team. And when they're getting into the Australian team, maybe they're not quite as good as what we think they are.
Merv, put your selector's hat on. For the test match starting this Thursday in Adelaide, who would you drop?
I wouldn't make wholesale changes. Listen, Davey Warne is a class act. Steve Smith is a really good player.
Yep.
Kawaja, there's been a lot of time invested in him. Probably Voges and Burns would come under scrutiny. But the question is, if you drop them, is the person that's replacing them, are they going to enhance the team? I think Callum Ferguson may keep his spot. Peter Neville is doing a good job behind the wickets, but we're saying that he's not making runs. Well, who else around would do a better job than him? Again, is a question. And you've got Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon and Joe Manny. Now, the same goes with Joe Manny. He got picked off 56 wickets last year in first-class cricket. When you got 86 on the boards your first test match, there's not a lot going for you. So it'd be a harsh call to knock him over. So now there's Chad Sayers lining up to get in. There's other guys around the country that are taking wickets. But again, you know, we're going to put in players that aren't really knocking the door down.
Merv, can I ask you, Ashley Mallett and Ian Chappell, do we need a coach of the Australian cricket team? Does the Australian cricket team need a coach?
Yeah, probably Ian Chappell. I've heard him speak. He is captain, knew exactly what he wanted to do, so he didn't need a coach. Ashley Mallett played under Ian Chappell, saw what he did, don't need a coach. Blokes like Shane Warne, Ricky Ponting, blokes like that, mate, I needed a coach. I needed structure, and you know, while AB gave you a fair bit of structure, Bob Simpson was fantastic for me. So when we get to training, you'd say, you know, what are you going to do? I might have a light day. No, I don't think so, because first day of a test match, it's not going to be a light day. I think you should do something. So they force you into doing stuff. And basically, if you leave it up to the players, I reckon most of the time they'll take the easy option.
Gee, move, we've got, a batting coach, we've got a bowling coach, and we've got a fielding coach. Do we need...
We've got an assistant coach, we've got a coach's coach, we've got a coach.
Yeah, that's my point. Do we need all that?
Well, I reckon you do. Like in football, you have a backs coach, a forwards coach, a centre coach, a coach, an assistant coach. You've got a kicking coach, you've got a handball coach. So, you know, when things are going bad, that's when it's highlighted and people tend to ask, is there too many people involved? When things are going well, I reckon that's when we sit back and say, listen, is this the right system? And we had that a couple of years ago when the cricket team was going really well under Buff Lehman. They got to number one both in tests and one days, and there wasn't a problem with Australian cricket. Now we're going bad off the back of a few injuries, six significant players retiring, and we're not giving the guys that are coming in that opportunity to find their feet.
Merv, we appreciate your time. Let's hope the boys can get back into some winning form on Thursday here at the Adelaide. We appreciate your time, Merv.
No worries at all, guys. Thank you.
Good on you, Merv. Merv Hughes.
Thanks, mate.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter.
Triple M.
30 years at... in business. He's a good bloke. If you're looking for a caravan, and Noel's the man to see. But we're welcome. We can welcome to our program, of course, here at Colonnades. The young ruckman from Port Adelaide. How about that, Source? Young.
Still young somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matty Lobby. Matty, welcome to the show.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Now, Matty, could ask you, and you probably get angry here, but as I understood...
Don't fire him up, KJ.
As I understood it, you said to Port that you'd like to be traded, or you'd look at being traded. That hasn't happened. What's been your reaction to that?
Yeah, I didn't specifically ask for a trade, but I definitely said I was open to looking at my options and seeing what was out there, and it really didn't get to a point where that happened. So, you know, I've been away, I've been on holiday, and I've come back. I'm pretty excited to get stuck into it again.
Can I ask you why you left your options open, Matty?
Well, I think it'd come to a point where, you know, we haven't been happy as a group how we've been the last couple of years. Yep. I haven't been happy myself how I've performed, and really wanted to see what was it out there in the AFL and what sort of other opportunities there were available as well.
How does it change for you next year, Lobes? Obviously been a tough year or two, really, for you. You know, Paddy Ryder now back. People from the outside say, well, that's going to take your position. He'll take your number one role. How does things turn around for you, and how do you get that number one position back?
Well, I think for me it's pretty simple. I get back to training, have a great pre-season, and see what happens. You know, I'm excited about pre-season. I love training with the boys, and I guess it's just going to have to be see what happens type thing.
And just on Paddy, obviously, apart from maybe taking your position or making it harder for you to get that one back, it must be great to see those, Paddy and Gussie, back in the frame after the 12, well, it's longer than 12 months, and it's been a long time.
Definitely. I know how excited they are to get back, and Gussie's going to be back to being a pest down the club.
Is he a pest, is he?
A genuine pest, yep. So. It was definitely a bit different not having him there last year. So
that's Angus Monfries.
Now, Matty, I see a lot of similarities in the way we sort of play. We love playing high minutes and all that sort of stuff.
Get into him, Matty. He's crawling to you now.
Both good-looking, tall redheads.
Absolutely.
It's a bit sickening, Cage, isn't it, how nice these two are to each other.
Yeah.
Not back in my day. We wouldn't even... made eye contact.
Exactly right, Tyson.
Leave it on the field, boys. just saying, you love playing high minutes. How do you see the dynamics working with Paddy? Would you rather compete with him for the actual number one ruck spot and then just get a bit of a chop out from, say, Dixon or someone like that? Or are you happy sort of breaking it down in 50-50?
Well, the way I saw it when he first came in was that we were going to work together, and I still see it like that. Yeah. I still see that can happen. We haven't proven that it's happened yet, but... I still look back and think the first year we started together, Paddy had come off the suspensions and injuries. I'd come off injuries, so we really haven't had a good crack together. That's the way I see it. And you know what it's like? We're all very optimistic. To play AFL, you have to be. So
absolutely.
That's how I'm going to remain.
Brendan Lates, obviously a really good addition. Lates, you'll no doubt spend a fair bit of time with him. Have you had any chats with him yet about how he sees things panning out for you guys this year?
No, I haven't specifically yet, but I'm excited to work with him. I got him in the last couple of years of his career and enjoyed playing training with him, but I'm really looking forward to working with him as a coach. And I think it's going to be great for us to have someone really laid back and someone that's really smart ruckman as well working with us.
Matty, a difficult question. what's happened to Port Adelaide the last 2 years? Because 3 years ago, kick away from a grand final, the last 2 years have been so, so disappointing. Can you put in forth what's happened?
Well, I think if I could give you the exact answer, we would have won the premiership last year.
Yeah, I understand that. But something's gone wrong.
Yeah, definitely there's been a lot of things that that we haven't been happy with.
Like what, Matty?
Well, obviously, we haven't played consistently how we would have liked. And that happens for a variety of reasons. You can make excuses.
Yep.
But for me, it's sort of moving on from those last 2 years and then starting afresh. Learning what we can from it, but starting afresh. I probably can't give you anything more specific than that.
No, that's fair. Well, can I take it a step further? And you can jump over me if you want here. What's your relationship like with Kenny Hinkley, the coach?
Yeah, me and Kenny get along great.
Great.
There's never been an issue there. I don't think many people would say they've got a bad relationship with Kenny. So I don't think that's an issue at all.
Just for next year, Lowe's, as a Power fan or supporter, what... And KG mentioned it, the last couple of years have been, you know, quite disappointing. What can the supporters be guaranteed of seeing next year as far as the performance goes? Obviously, you can't guarantee win-loss, but, you know, is there anything different that the game style or structure, anything that the supporters can come and watch and be a part of?
I probably can't give you any game style yet, as I haven't officially started training yet.
Doesn't sound like you guys go back very soon either.
I could make one up, though, if you like. I mean, I can guarantee that I'll give my best effort,
and
I think the team will as well, and I think that's all we can probably guarantee.
Now, you say you've just come back from overseas, you've been in Europe. We'll leave the footy stuff to these boys to ask the hard-hitting questions, but good break over there with your partner, you said?
Yeah, I had a great break. I just got back earlier in the week and had a month over there, and it feels like 2 or 3 months when you're over in Europe, so... explored a bit and had a good time.
Manny, what's it like having a crack at the big saucy on the ground? What's it like?
Well, it's quite funny because we do get pretty competitive, all ruckmen do, but at the moment the game finishes...
Do you whack each other?
We whack each other. I usually try and whack him. Try and get on the front foot. But then the moment the game finishes, you know, it's different. But
absolutely.
We do enjoy that. I think the fact that it's where we play in showdowns means we get two cracks at each other every year as well.
I think it's a bit of a ruck respect going on, KG.
I reckon it's
throughout the league. I think you do. You obviously, we're probably the only position on the ground really where we're judged one on one still, I reckon. So you obviously spend a lot of time playing against each other in a game. So it's a good spot to play.
Matty, can I ask another leading question? Hamish Hartlett signed a 5-year deal, 12 months down the track. He's open to be traded. What effect does that have on a player's mental approach? Surely. I couldn't fathom that one out.
Yeah, I think the game is at a point now where we're actually realising that the trades, it's just available for anyone. You know, we saw the guys from Hawthorn, Mitchell. We saw them, they've won 4 premierships and they were still on the table. So I think we're aware as players that we're in an environment where this has happened. Like, we can't really complain. We were the ones that asked for free agency. So that sort of opened up everything. So there's that part of it, but definitely still, it would probably have some effect.
Hamish probably didn't want to leave the big mansion he's building, did he?
It's probably just taking a bit longer for... sorry, I'll move on from that one. Source, he's building a big pad, is he?
I don't know if it's as big as your one, though, Source.
That's what he wanted to talk about. So how's yours going, Source?
You're the real estate agent, so...
And you're not using me to sell your home either, which is disappointing.
Your company, Source, though.
Yeah, that's right. No, you'll be in good hands there. As far as... what was I going to ask? Oh, pre-season wise. Anything different from the boys this year? I know we've done a couple of Dubai trips. There was a few boys over in America early in the year. What was all that about? Were you a part of that one?
No, I missed that one. That was the Nike family
Nike
trip.
Oh, so Burjo's
crew. I'm an Asics man and we didn't have any.
Burjo's crew, was it?
Yeah, Burjo's crew. Oh. So he got him into all the NFL games and basketball and hockey.
Was there any training done by those boys while they were over
probably
there?
Probably had a couple of sessions.
But will there be any other pre-season trips for you guys? Will you be
no,
doing
there
anything?
Won't. We'll be staying in Adelaide.
Yeah.
I think it's probably going to be hotter here.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of boys going to China for a more media trip. But no, we'll be staying in Adelaide.
So, Matty, what have you been doing during your break? Have you been doing it in some physical training and so forth?
Yeah, definitely. So I had the first 4 weeks completely off my legs, and then since then I've been 3 days a week running program that Burjo gives us.
Right.
It's tailored a little bit to the big men for me, but yeah, it's 3 days a week running and weights as well. So by the time you come back, you're in good enough nick to start properly.
I think looking at your team last year, you actually lost quite a bit of experience with, you know, yourself. You missed a big chunk of the year, Schultzy as well, Ryder, Montfries, Matty White. You obviously got an opportunity to blood a lot of young guys. There should be a lot of competition for spots this year going forward.
Definitely. We had a massive chunk of our core group out, but as you said, those young guys got some experience, and from that, they're probably going to be thinking they're a great chance to play now, whereas they wouldn't this time last year. So thinking it might get pretty heated at training, and the old boys won't like the young boys having a crack at them.
Any coaching shuffles? Normally there's one or two little shuffles within the group. Anything happening there that you can let us in on, big man? You're looking, you're stargazing. Obviously, Brendan Lade's coming. He's going to be your ruck coach.
Yeah, Hardy's role is going to change a little bit.
Yeah. So he was footy director.
Yeah, he's going to be working more with the SANFL boys.
Yeah.
In the development role.
What about Nixie?
Nixie's going to be the same role.
Okay.
I could probably tell you a bit more this day.
Thanks very much, Duncan. Thank you, Darman. Good to see you.
Mahatma Coase is back on your radio.
Ah, yes, well and truly that time of the morning as we journey and find our big sporting guru to find out what is making news in the wonderful world of sport as we welcome the one and only Mahatma Coase. Good morning, Mahatma.
Thank you very, very much, Cunnington. Good morning to you. Good morning to Mike Tyson, Edwards, and what a beautiful morning in Adelaide. I am still here from last week. I've had the best week in Adelaide.
What have you been doing?
Well, Cunnington, look, I've been working under the covers. Rodney of the Marshes has phoned me, along with the man who looks like Blakey from On the Buses, James Sutherland, with that stupid moustache.
He's the CEO of Cricket Australia, yeah.
That is it. Not for much longer, Cunnington, let's hope. But they had me all week down at the Adelaide Oval.
What doing?
Cunnington, I don't know whether anyone has noticed, but there have been thousands of people queuing up at the gates of the Adelaide Oval all week.
Why?
They've all had little handbags with them, and they've all been given the opportunity to put on a set of whites and see who could be our next middle order. We have Cunnington. And the thing about it is Lehman has been taking all of their names and addresses. Anyone could get a go in this bloody team, Cunnington. I am telling you. But the young boy from New South Wales yesterday, Handsome Cansom, making 200 at the SCG. Will he come into the team? I don't think so.
Oh, he's got to come in, Peter Handscomb. He's made 250. He's got to come in, Mahatma.
Who is he going to replace, Cunnington?
Well, Voges is one.
Well, he's a knockout, Vogue. But he's gone. Maybe he will, but don't be surprised if they don't use him because the selection policy is not very good. But listen, speaking of Cunnington, there'll be one change to the South African team.
Who's that?
Faf du Plessis, or whatever his name is.
He's the captain. What's he done?
Well, Cunnington trying to get an advantage by putting lollies in his mouth.
I saw that. Terrible.
And putting the saliva on the balls. And Alma Park Zoo, or whatever his name is. Why is it that these South Africans won't even use their proper name? I mean, Faster Plessis, you know, bigger the cock. I mean, how are they getting away with that?
That is their name.
I was thinking to myself, I said to Shiraz, what about if they pick Travis Head? I said, can you imagine if Travis Head has a son and, Big the Cock had a daughter and they got married, he would become, you know, Sally the Head, you know, after the marriage. Anyway, he is gone, and I can tell you why. My niece, Fatima Pan,
yes,
she has told me, Uncle Mahatma, that works. She said, it works. She said, when I put chocolate sauce in my mouth, I can get the balls to swing any which way but loose.
Really?
And that is it. And I said, well, they've not got chocolate sauce. They've got only mints in their mouth. So Shiraz tried a few out last night. I said, right, Shiraz, let's have a crack at the ping pong. Put something in your mouth. And she put it in the mouth. She rubbed it on the ball.
Did it swing?
Outswinger, Cunnington.
Outswinger.
Outswinger. Then she put some chewy in her mouth.
Yes.
And put that on the red ball.
And what happened?
It was a mess, Cunnington. It took me hours to try and clean the blood thing up. I'm telling you, it sticks to everything, isn't it? I've got to say, I don't think there's too much in it. I mean, if Australia are going to start squealing about, oh, we're getting beaten by a lolly in the mouth, have a look at yourselves, you idiots.
You can't. That's cheating, Mahatma. That's cheating.
Everett Cunnington, the great Dennis of the Lilies, you know, Jeffrey Thompson, Tuap Tomo Thompson, Glenn McGrath, they all have a little scratch of the balls when they're bowling, isn't it?
No, they don't.
They did so, Cunnington. They fiddled with their seams, you know. But Faffy de Plessis, whatever his proper name is, he's been done once before for rubbing the balls on his fly.
Exactly right. Scratching the ball.
That is it. And I'm telling you what, that is not a pleasant feeling when you are doing that, pulling the zipper up and down on the balls while you're out on the field.
Now, Matt Mahatma, before you leave us, what about Ben Jum and the Crows haven't picked him up?
Cunnington, this is a sad day for the Adelaide footy public, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
it's
the
sad
opportunity for a father and son and, you know, to get under the salaries cap and that sort of thing. I mean, the only team is going to benefit from this particular scenario, I think, is Collingwood.
Why?
Because no one in Collingwood even knows who their father is. So half the public would be able to say, yeah, here's my dad. Yeah, we'll get him under the salary cap. Or whatever, isn't it? Yeah, take that one, Eddie Maguire, you big horse.
Beautiful, Mahatma. It's great to talk with you. Great to have you in town. And you give my love to Shiraz and look after yourself.
Thanks, Shiraz. Try the strawberry sauce. That's my favourite. Thank you very much. Good night. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Bugger
Bee. Bye, Mahatma. The one and only Mahatma Coach.
Yeah, every Saturday morning at 10:30 with Dead Set Legends. If you ever miss them, we just want to hear it again. Don't forget about the Dead Set Legends catch up. It's the podcast which you can get at triplem.com.au.
Your 2017 is about to change.
2017 will be absolutely ginormous.
With Ruin Dead's massive package. You and your mates at Adelaide Oval for the Gunners. Danny Green and Anthony Mundine.
Chock thinks he's the best. I think I'm better than Chock.
The One Day.
The Adelaide Oval's gone off.
And the Ent Centre for Springsteen. Green Day. And Seinfeld. Win tickets to all of them. Listen every hour on the hour. Tomorrow from 7 a.m. Triple M.
We go.
Once he was a champion on the footy field.
Prosciutto, the hero. Fans it back. He has kicked a miracle goal.
Now he's the king of the punt. The man with a sock drawer full of cash. It's the Roo with his tip of the week on the Dead Set Legends.
Yes, and boy, oh boy, do we need a winner? We need a winner every week as we welcome Mark Prosciutto to the program. Good morning, Roo.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Very well. Good, now, before we get your tips, can we put you on the spot? Benny Jarman.
Yes, you can. Yep.
Benny Jarman's going to look good in a port jumper next year, Rui.
Oh,
what? just like you didn't when you went down there.
What's going on,
hey,
Rui?
Hey, mate, there's no one saying he's not going to end up at the Crows at the moment. But it's a very complicated system, and I don't think, you know, 99% of people listening to the radio would understand how it works. So what happened a couple of weeks ago? The Crows had to say they were interested in picking him up at that point. They didn't say they were going to guarantee it. And all that's happened yesterday is the Crows have basically dropped off so they don't get the discount if they pick him up early. Okay, but that's not to say that they won't pick him up. All it is, it gives the Crows the opportunity if they don't want to pick him up. If the Crows signed up for the Form 19 yesterday to get him on the father-son, then they had to pick him up in the draft. So basically, it just gives the Crows more flexibility, and nothing changed at all from where the club sees Benny Jarman at. They've watched him very, very closely over the year. The recruiters look at absolutely every player available in the draft very closely, but obviously with the first father-son option, they've looked at Benny very, very closely. And the recruiters have been in touch with Ben and the Jarmans all year. They've been open and honest with everything all season. So you can ask Darren and Sue and Ben about that. They're crystal clear with where the club is at. So and you just got to take the emotion out of it, I think, too. I think everyone wants the romance of a father-son, and no more than anyone at the football club. It'll be absolutely brilliant. But at the same time, the club has got to pick the best players available, and that's what they'll do when they go to the draft next Friday.
So basically what you're saying there, Rui, just get a better understanding of the Crows' position, is they're giving up the 20% discount that they could have got if they nominate him.
Yep, that's exactly right. But if you do that, that means you absolutely have to pick him up on draft day. So what the Crows have done is they've dropped that benefit of 20% to give him the flexibility of not picking him up. So it's a very complicated system. I think it's too complicated, and I've had a conversation with a couple of people at a higher level about it. I think it should be a bit simpler, but it's not, and you just have to deal with the rules that are in place. But hopefully, Penny Jarman will still end up in a Crows jumper at some time in the not-too-distant future.
I would have thought, though, Rui, it doesn't look good reading between the lines. You would have thought they would have just taken him and locked in a pick there. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed.
Tyce, what you got to do? I haven't watched Ben Jarman. I don't make the decision, but the people who do watch junior football every single week and watch him very closely, and they compare him to every other player that is available to get picked up in the draft. And you know full well, you have to back in the people who are getting paid the money to pick the players. That is their job. They live and die by their decisions. And that's how it works. Whether you're head of recruiting, head of coaching, head of fitness, or the CEO, everyone has a job to do, and you pay them to do it, and you've got to back them in that they make the right decision. So that's what the footy club will be doing.
That's a fair call, but I'm coming from being a mad Crow supporter, Rui. Yep. The romantic side of it, having our first father and son, the son of Darren Jarman, to me it's just got... the right feel. And
romance doesn't always end up the right way, KG. You can have some bad romance.
I understand that, and I haven't seen the young man play at all.
And neither have I, so I'm not getting into whether he's good enough or not, because I honestly do not know. But, look, we'd all love to see him. It was great watching Jack Silvani in the middle of the year, wasn't it, when he played at Carlton? It is complicated. You look at Sydney last year, they didn't go for... Dunkley's son and end up playing the premiership for the Western Bulldogs. But then you've had plenty of players at different clubs who have picked up the father-son that never got a game and felt the pressure and never played footy. So there's wins and losses in that, and hopefully this will end up good for everyone. Jarman's, Crows, everyone.
So anything changed in the last couple of weeks, Rui? Because I guess reading between the lines a little bit, and just from the people on the outside, it seemed like the Crows were committing to Ben. I know you said they haven't actually committed to him, but that was the word coming out of there. Is there anything changed in the last couple of weeks, couple of days?
Nothing's changed. I saw that the other week there was a lot of media about it. The Crows nominated him, but they had to nominate him to have some interest in there. It wasn't a guarantee that it was going to be picked up, but that's how it was written in the media, which was incorrect.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of the issue when things get reported incorrectly. But as I said, it is a complicated system, and that's unfortunate because, there are a lot of things in AFL that are too complicated for your average Joe Blow that just loves footy and watches it and reads the paper. It's very, there's a lot of rules now with academy players, father, sons. They're actually quite technical and... To be quite honest, my head spins in after the meeting, KG. So, nothing's changed. He's still in the exact same talent order as he's always been, Tyson.
Yeah.
And they'll go to the draft. And, pardon?
Just sounds too complicated, doesn't it?
It is complicated, but at the end of the day, you've picked the best footballer, okay? Yeah. And if you get a discount for him, it's an advantage, but... You only get that discount really in the if you're around the top in the top 60 draft picks. After that, the points don't really matter.
Yeah. Okay. Righto, Rui. Let's get a winner, Rui.
You're right, KG.
No, I'm unhappy. I'm disappointed.
What do you want to pick him? Pick one, do you?
Probably. I'm biased, I know, but I'm wrong.
I would love nothing more than to have Darren Jarman.
Oh, he's sensational.
Playing with the man. I love Jars and everyone. So it's, you know, that's just the way it goes, unfortunately. So they want a couple. I've only got a couple of tips because I've been out the cricket this morning.
Yeah, no worries.
The big races are at Ballarat today, the Ballarat Cup.
Yep.
There's a tip on race 8, number 1, turn it around. It's 10 to 1, KG. I know you love it with a bit of odds.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah,
Sydney race 2, number 9, Dagny. That's a bit short. That's $2.80.
Yep.
And then over at Ascot in the Get Out race 8 there, there's a $1 million race, the Railway Stakes. I'm going to have a few bucks each one. Number 16, Tradesman down the bottom.
Beautiful.
Tradesman at 10 to 1.
Beautiful, Roo. Good luck.
Where are you boys?
We're at Colonnades. Radio Reynolds at Colonnades.
You ever been down here, Roo?
Yeah, a couple of times.
It's the wrong way from the river.
Back in the old days.
Good on you, Roo.
Good on you, mate.
All right, boys. Good on you.
See you, Mike Ruscio. I'm probably wrong.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter. Triple M.
Going back to the footy world, of course, it's our pleasure to welcome a young man who's been a fantastic player for the Crows for a number of years now. Very skillful, very quick, young Richard Douglas. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken. Good to be here down at Colonnades. A beautiful place, so thanks for having me.
Mate, you've been doing handball competitions over there. You were told to come at 10 o'clock. You've been over there entertaining the people. You've had a wonderful morning, Richard.
Yeah, saucer stitched me up there. Thanks, mate. It's been good. A lot of good kids down here and a few handball games. It's been a nice little lead into training in the next couple of weeks, so I enjoyed it.
And you might also get in the act as well, Richard. Benny Jarman has me picked up. Do you want to end into the controversy? It would have been nice to have...
I've missed it all, sorry.
would have been nice to have another Jarman on the side, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be nice. You know, obviously, half the player his old man was, it would be fantastic. And it still may play out that way. We're yet to see how the draft's going to go, but obviously the club decided against it, which is, I'm sure they had their reasons.
Yep.
But I can understand a lot of frustration and disappointment amongst our fan base. So hopefully it can have that fairy tale ending. Yep.
Richard, how do you see the forthcoming season? We went for Bryce Gibbs. No, we didn't get him. I just feel that next year we can look forward to people like young Cameron, Riley, Miller and so on taking the next step. Do you see those guys coming up and filling that breach?
Yeah, I definitely do, and we're going to need that because the trade period didn't pan out the way we probably would have liked.
Yes.
So our improvement obviously is going to have to come from within and our younger guys, as you mentioned. So that's a great challenge for me and Sauce and the leadership group to try and bring these guys on and try and fast track them. We've seen some great growth amongst our group in the last few years, but the challenge for us, the last couple of years we've sat mid range, probably finished sixth, won a final, which is great, but we don't want to be there next year. We need to take the next step and become that premiership side that we all really want to be.
Now, you mentioned the leadership group. You've moved into the podium, third oldest at the club now.
Are you the third oldest,
Richard? The third oldest.
Thanks for reminding me.
I'm fourth, so I know exactly where it is. We know VB's moved into coaching capacity. Tomo's uncertain about his leadership group stuff at the moment. Do you see your leadership role changing much next year?
Oh, I guess, firstly, thanks for bringing that up, Sauce. Well done, mate.
How old are you? How old, Richie?
I'm still in my 20s.
Yeah. 29, okay. 30 next year, that means.
Early next year.
Are you 30 next year?
I am, yeah.
30? Where have those years gone?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
One good year left in you, mate.
Thanks. Make the most of it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So what was the question? my role amongst the leadership group. I guess that we're going to have to, with losing VB, who was a fantastic leader for our footy club. Obviously didn't play a lot of football with us last year, but still had that presence around the footy club. So I need to step up in that role and give a bit more to the leadership group and I guess try and provide some more support to Tex and to Pikey, and as well, as we mentioned before, trying to help out our younger guys and bring them on and the more they can come on, the lesser role I'll have to really give to the team. So I think there's a bit of a gap in our leadership at the moment amongst probably the senior players and a few of the younger guys. So we need to really bridge that gap if we're going to, take that next step, as you mentioned.
Is the leadership stuff something that, you really enjoy and search and have gone after? Or is it more just a natural progression for you that, played some senior footy, been a consistent player and a very good player and that's just how it goes as you, I guess, you see it, your career carries on, you end up being in the leadership group, or is it something you've really gone after, Richard?
It's probably a progression. I mean, early days I was, we had a really good, I guess, group in place to try and drive our leadership, and it's probably just evolved. And I think when you're around a footy club long enough, you see how things work and you naturally have guys look up to you. So I'm probably not the most outspoken person and in that terms of things, but I think the good thing about our leadership group at the moment is we have quite a diverse group and we can bring different things to the table, and I think that's important.
Yeah,
Richie, a tough question. We've got pick 13 in the draft. What sort of player do you think the Crows will target at pick 13? A player that we need?
I think we need more midfield depth. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
And again, some more outside run and speed. We've been searching for that for a little bit. We've been able to get Paul Seedsman, which has added a bit to that. We've got Charlie Cameron, who's got some speed.
Love him.
And Rory Atkins has really helped that side of our game. I think at pick 13, I'm not sure their tactic. They may just go after the best player at that stage. But I really do think we need to keep adding to our midfield stocks, and you can never get too many quality mids. We've seen the Doggies, they rotate 13, 14 players for the midfield, and I think that's the way the game's going. So we need to, we really need to add to that, the depth of that.
Now, you spoke earlier about your leadership and helping these younger guys out. The fact you're still only 29 years old and you've still got a lot of good footy ahead of you, would you like to spend more time in the midfield? I know when I'm in there in the centre bounce, I think you bring a lot to us. I think you've got a really good understanding of the midfield stuff. Would you like to get more time in there rather than, spending, I guess, more up forward?
I would. I'm also talked to Pike a little bit about spending some time maybe across halfback this year. So, we've got some really good guys, I think. Rolly Knight, obviously you mentioned Charlie Cameron. And I think we've got some guys that have played across halfback that can come into the midfield and also play forward. So I played a lot of under-18s and a little bit of time early in my career across halfback, and I think it's just another something I can add to my game, and I'm really excited by the challenge a little bit of training in that sort of area across in pre-season. So that's something we'll look at. It's not to say I won't continue to play in the midfield, but instead of maybe rotating at half forward, I might spend a bit of time across halfback, which would be fun.
How's the health of the group at the moment? Probably a question for both of you, but we've got you here, Dougie, at the moment, so we'll hit you up with it. Is there many boys on the injury list? Are we looking pretty healthy this time of the year?
No, I think we're pretty good. Yep. I think
Saw said he hasn't done much for about 8 weeks, but he's on a different program than most, Dougie.
Yeah, no, he can do what he wants. Yeah, big fella. That's good luck to him. But I think just JJ and Tommy Lynch, they had knee and ankle surgery post-season, so they're probably going to be a bit slow pre-Christmas. But I think once we get back in January, we should have a pretty healthy list.
Yep.
Not too many guys with ops post-season, which always helps and gives you some continuity in your training, and we've seen the benefits of that in previous years.
Richard, thanks for joining us here, and Source to stitch you up. You've been waiting here 2 hours, Paul.
I think he's keen to get out of here, mate.
Only been here for 2 hours. Good luck for the 2017 season. Let's hope we can take a couple of steps and get the ultimate goal, Richard. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, that's the plan. Thank you, guys. Go
on, mate. He's been a very, very good player, very honest player for the Crows for a lot. I can't believe all those years have gone.
Yeah, I know. It goes quick, doesn't it?
Unbelievable. Richard Douglas was our special guest.
The Dead Set Legends catch up for Knowles Caravans. If you're looking to hit the open road with a caravan this summer, start your journey at Knowles Caravans, the home of Island Star and Globetrotter. Triple M.
Yes, we're coming to you live, of course, from Radio Randalls here at the Colonnade. It's been a big crowd here, having a lot of fun handballing and carrying on. Well, it hasn't been a couple of good days, unfortunately, for the Redbacks up in Queensland, playing Queensland. They've had a wonderful start with the year. Two great wins at the Redbacks, but the game against Queensland hasn't gone their way. Let's go up to the Gabba now and speak to the state talent manager, Tim Nielsen. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hello, KG. I'm actually in Adelaide, mate. I'm not up in the Gabba. But
okay.
I've got other things on this weekend with Women's National League and different things going on as well. So, hang on.
So it's been a disappointing couple of days, Tim. Queensland in their second dig, 1-for-10 with Chad Sayers chipping in, taking a wicket.
Yeah, I just saw that we were trailing by 220-odd and Chad got Burns LBW, so they were 1-for-5 or 6, I think, which is a good start. Yeah, we won the toss and talking to the boys, won the toss and bowled. It was overcast. They were hopeful that it might swing, and it didn't really. And it was quite a slow wicket, which was a bit surprising. They probably we didn't quite get that right. And then they fought hard, and Queensland batted well. They got a couple of, obviously Khawaja's a very nice player, and made a good 100, and yep. Renshaw as well, I think it was. So we found it difficult, but probably more disappointing, I think, on what turned out to be a pretty good batting wicket yesterday. We had probably our first poor day for the year, and it came at a bad time when you're 408 behind on the first dig. So do a lot of hard work now today to keep them under restraint and not let them score too quickly and get too far ahead, too quick. And you never know, tomorrow they might be able to set us something that we've got a bit of a sniff at chasing down.
Just looking at the whole picture, Timmy, just getting away from the Gabba game. What's been the biggest turnaround in the last, I guess, year or two? We've gone from a couple of years ago where we were battling a little bit, and now we've just got, so much depth. We've got really quality batsmen. Our bowling stocks are looking really strong. The Futures League and all that seems to be going really well. What's been the big turnaround?
It's a good question, sir. I think probably the biggest thing is we've really made a concerted effort to give some younger players a real run at it. As you said, we've had intermittent success over the last few years, but probably not as consistently as we would have liked. We had a couple of more senior blokes, Andrew McDonald, for example, that was playing and getting probably near the end, and in some regard, maybe Joanne Botha as well. So we made a real conscious decision about, one, we wanted to produce some Australian players, and to do that, we needed to get young players into our side and exposed to first-class cricket as early as we could, so they had a chance to learn about it at that level. And then I suppose on the edge of that is also we got Stephen Swart back, as you know, so we made some real ground with the players' fitness. Jamie Siddons came in as the coach and has a rabid want for players to play for Australia and continually talks about being good enough to do that and go up and contribute at the highest level. And if you're doing those sorts of things, you're going to have a good first-class team, a good Sheffield Shield team and one-day side. So we've had a bit of luck. Some of these young blokes, Jake Weatherall, for example, Alex Carey got another 70 or 80 today. Alex Ross played really well last year. Travis Head took on the captaincy and has been really, really good as both a leader and a player in that period. And, you talk about the fast bowling, Sayers has been our rock, and then you add in Worrell and Minnie and the likes who have been continually getting better and better. Kane Richardson now is fit, going well. So we've just probably found a few blokes. They've matured a little bit. They've got a bit fitter. They've got a bit stronger. They've had a bit of success, and they've gained a bit of belief in themselves and each other. And they enjoy playing together. And as you'd be aware, one of the biggest battles is looking after your mates and making sure you're having fun together. If those things are happening, the rest is usually pretty not being easy, but it actually looks after itself a little bit. So, we've had a bit of luck, and it's been nice to see them competing hard for what's now turning out to be a couple of years, which is great.
Yeah, Tim, it must also, seeing you put so much time into these younger kids, seeing a lot of them getting spoken about for, test selection, playing for Australia, that must give you guys a fair bit of pride that, although maybe disruptive for your own team, but for their own sake and their own future, to see them getting spoken about in that way.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I mean, we all grew up as kids, didn't we? And, if you didn't want to play for the Crows or the Power, you wanted to play cricket for Australia.
Yeah, exactly, you know what right.
I mean? We're all the same. We didn't necessarily... Playing for South Australia was a vehicle to play for the ultimate thing, to play for Australia. So we've been rabid about the idea that we're here to help you play for Australia. But to do that, you've got to get better, you've got to get fitter, and you've got to show that you can dominate at the first-class level. We had Joe and Callum away last week with the test side. We had four guys away through the Matador Cup with the tour of South Africa. We couldn't be more pleased. And the other benefit of that is you talked a little bit about the depth. Having players going away playing for Australia means we have to pick other players. And Cameron Valenti had an outstanding Matador Cup. We're seeing Nick Benson play well. We're seeing Jake Weatherall come in and do different things. These guys get a run in the proper positions rather than maybe batting at six or seven and learning. They're actually being shoved in and had to bat at three or open the batting, and they've had to open the bowling. And there's no quicker way to learn than being given that responsibility and the support and trust to do it. And then if it doesn't go quite so well initially, that's where your coaching comes into play. You've got to teach and learn and develop. My favourite thing is I don't think coaching or selection is a coaching tool. You can't just pick them and choose them. You've got to pick the best ones and then work your backsides off to make them feel better about themselves and develop their game to be ready to play and contribute at the highest level consistently.
Well, Tim, we appreciate your time. Let's hope the boys can salvage something out of this particular game against Queensland, and let's hope that Joe Manny and Ferg get another run here on Thursday in the third test match. Appreciate your time, Tim.
Yeah, good on you guys. I've got some work to do, but we'll see how we go. Thanks a lot.
Good on you, Tim. Tim Nielsen, the state talent manager. I think Manny and Ferg will get another game. surely another test match.
I think being at the Adelaide Oval probably helps their case.
Yeah, exactly.
We know Ferg's made a lot of runs there. Yeah. Manny's bowled well for a long time here as well.
Exactly right. Okay, this is Dead Set Legends with Tyson Edwards and Sam Jacobs, The Source, back with more shortly.